only 16 verses. We will probably only look at the first two verses of the psalm tonight, but we will read the entirety of the psalm. We'll pray together. I'll mention a couple of things of interest concerning the psalm, and then we'll look at the first couple of verses. This psalm is it's not the only psalm, but it is one of only a few psalms that is untitled and unnamed. But Psalm 91, the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible and for the opportunity to be at church on this Wednesday afternoon. I thank you for this congregation of folks who have assembled tonight. I pray that you would help us and use us, Lord, to say something that will be a help and a blessing to them. We sure do thank you for your blessings upon us and your goodness toward us. And I ask now that you help us, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I've already mentioned, this is a very delightful psalm, but it is one of a few psalms that is untitled and unnamed. However, I have mentioned this before when we came up on this in a psalm. The general rule that is followed by Jewish authorities is that an unnamed psalm was written by the psalm of the last named author. If that is the case, the human penman or the human author of this psalm would be Moses. Now, with that in mind, even though we are certainly not 100% sure of the human authorship, we certainly know that ultimately the Lord is the author of all Scripture, and we're very grateful and thankful for that. But it is possible that Moses is the human penman of this psalm as well as Psalm 90. Now, this particular psalm, Psalm 91, it warns us about hidden traps, deadly plagues, terrors of night and arrows by day, stumbling over rocks, facing lions and snakes, all kinds of stuff we see in the warnings of this psalm. And while we understand that these certainly might not be things that we are hiding from, running from, or taking shelter from in the day that we live, not dangers that we may be facing presently, there are several, or many, I should say, dangers that we do face on a daily basis. I thought of just a few things in view of terrorist attacks and snipers and reckless and distracted drivers and exotic and new diseases and rampant shootings and crime sprees. The scene in which we live today may be just as dangerous, even though we don't necessarily look at it or realize it as often as we should, I don't guess. So I realize also that this psalm is messianic in many ways. It is a psalm about the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll look at that along the way as well. Now, the entire psalm, the entirety of the psalm flows from the condition or the situation that is set forth in the very first verse. Everything seemingly in the psalm has to do with whether or not we are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, by some, this psalm has been referred to as the very well-known and widely quoted New Testament verse, Romans 8:28, where the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And so there are some similarities along that line in this psalm. Now, the sermon outline that we will use and follow for this psalm is this. We see the state of those who dwell in the secret place in verses 1 and 2. We see the safety of those who dwell in the secret place in verses 3 through 8. The settlement of those who dwell in the secret place in verses 9 and 10. The servants of those who dwell in the secret place in verses 11 through 13. And in the salvation of those who dwell in the secret place in verses 14 through 16. So with that, we'll look at the first two verses this evening. We'll talk about the state of those who dwell in the secret place. Look at verse number 1, if you will. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So it seems to me to see, first of all, in the very beginning of this psalm, that the most important part of a believer's life, it could very well be the part that only God sees. It could be the hidden life or the secret life. It would be the life of devotion, the life of fellowship, the life of communion, the life of worship. And we're talking about on a personal level. Now, I certainly understand and enjoy public communion and public fellowship and public worship. And those things are wonderful. Those things are ordained of God. We are commanded to assemble together and do those things. And so, there's certainly no lack of importance in that at all whatsoever. But I hope that is not the only devotion and the only worship and the only fellowship that you have with God is in a public setting. God is very much so interested in our secret life, in our hidden life, if you will, and that life ought to be one that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, one writer said this, said the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, holy, sinless man, He always dwells in the secret place of the Most High. My problem is that I am there sometimes. My stay is like it is in motels. I am only there for a night or two at a time. And I can certainly relate to that. I can certainly see that. It certainly is true of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would dwell there always. You and I think in a spiritual sense, we desire and we would like to, but oftentimes we are not as faithful and steadfast and as hidden in Christ as we should be. Now, if we are faithful to commune and fellowship with Christ, we do that obviously through Bible reading, through meditating on the things of the Lord, through our prayer life. We certainly are near enough or can draw near enough to Him to remain under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll tell you this, all of us, each one of us, we are as close to God as we want to be. Now, maybe we're not as close as we want to be. We're as close as we have put the effort into being. And Jesus said, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And so we can be as close to God as we... Let me say this. This is the proper way to say it. Every one of us is as close to God as we desire to be. Because if we truly desired to be closer to Him, we'd be working on that, amen. And so we do that, we commune in fellowship with Him through this devotion to Him, through Bible reading and prayer and meditation on the things of the Lord. Now, so the verse talks about, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, there are several different things in this verse of Scripture. You could run all kind of references and look at all kind of different things. And I read from many different writers concerning the verse, and every one of them went in a different direction, and I even went in a different direction from that. But just practically, looking at the verse, and thinking about our secret life that only the Lord knows about, our hidden life. Is it a life that desires to be in fellowship and in close proximity of the Lord? And then for those that are, we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, just from a natural sense, speaking of a shadow, especially on a day like today, and it has been this week, when the temperature is in the high 90s, if you're outside, a shadow is a blessing. A shadow is comforting. A shadow is a place, or a shade is a place where you seek to get out of the sun and find some relief from the heat. So I think if we have a desire to commune and to fellowship and to have a nearness to God, He provides us with some very needed comfort from the heat of this life, maybe I should say. And then I thought about this as well. Maybe if you're someone who has, maybe you're hot-headed, or you have a lot of trouble controlling your temper, I think that would be evident that you have not spent a great amount of time in His presence, and therefore you're out from under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, we may mention this in some later verses. We've already made a reference as well. But this is definitely a psalm that provides instruction that certainly can help with the removal or reduce the anxiety in our life. Now, I know some of you think, I don't have any anxiety. Well, wonderful. There's all kind, and it seems to me that oftentimes it gets worse as you get older. But this is a psalm that if we would heed the teaching, we would heed the instruction, we would realize the truth found in the psalm, and we would trust in the Lord, as we're going to see at the end of the next verse, I think it could certainly be a tremendous, tremendous a prescription for dealing with anxiety in our lives. I'll tell you why. There is no safer place in all of the universe than to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I mentioned that all of this flows from verse number 1. It says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Look at verse number 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." So the psalmist here, the writer of the psalm, he boldly confesses that the Lord is his fortress, that the Lord is his refuge, that the Lord is his God. Now, I certainly hope that you and I can honestly and boldly confess this same truth that the psalmist has confessed. He is my God. He is my refuge. He is my fortress, amen. And so, now listen, remember that all of this flows from the first verse. So we are dealing with folks who are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. If we are dwelling there, when we are dwelling there, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. Now, I'm glad that He doesn't cease to be my fortress and my refuge, but I am thankful that I can feel that closeness. I can feel that that assurance, maybe I should say, when I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Now, let's look at some other passages of Scripture. Hold your place here and come to Psalm 46 for just a moment. Psalm 46. We're talking about our refuge, first of all. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 46 and verse number 1. Psalm 46, verse number 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now, a refuge is a shelter. It is a protection from danger, distress, or calamity. And so, it's a refuge, is a shelter. I'm glad that God is a shelter to us. I'm glad that He is a place of protection from us. Now, in this particular verse, and we're not going to preach from Psalm 46. We've done that in the past already. But the Bible says God is our refuge and strength. Now look at this. He's not just a present help in trouble. He is a very present help in trouble. I'm glad that we can safely trust in the Lord. Now, there's something else about this Psalm 46 that is wonderful. Look at verse number 7. I'll explain why it's so wonderful in just a moment. But look at verse number 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Now, look at verse number 11. the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, twice in this psalm, three times, we're told that God is our refuge. Twice we're told that the God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, I want to tell you something. This is extremely important information. He's the God of a lot of people in the Bible, but the author, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, led the writer to pin down that the God of Jacob is our refuge. What a blessing, amen. I'll tell you why that is. Jacob is a deceiver. He's a supplanter. He has not always been what he ought to be. And in fact, when he got things right with the Lord, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. But even after God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, he is referred to as Jacob more often than he is Israel. You know why? Because he's not always living in faith. He's not always operating in the faith. Sometimes he's operating in the flesh. And so the Bible says that God is the God of Jacob is our refuge. Aren't you glad that God is still our refuge even when we are not living up to snuff? Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. God has never stopped being his refuge, and God will never cease being our refuge as well. What a blessing. Now look at Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Come to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And verse number 9. Psalm 9, verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Now, in Psalm 46 that we looked at, it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Here in Psalm 9:9, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed." Remember, that is a shelter. That is a place of protection. He will be a refuge in the times of trouble. So listen, whatever your condition in life, whatever your lot in life, the Lord will be your protection. The Lord will be your shelter. The Lord will be your refuge if you'll flee to Him. He wants to be that on your behalf. Amen. I think that's a tremendous blessing. Now, look, come to Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. There are things in life, and there are difficulties in life, and there are problems in life, and there are situations in life we really have no idea how to deal with. We don't know how to help folks who are involved in those situations. We can pray for them and try to be there to be a help and a comfort to them, but there's really nothing we can do. But I'm glad that you can flee to the Lord, amen, and He can be a refuge. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 14, look at verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord is strong competence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." Listen, in a time of trouble, there is nowhere else to run but to the Lord. Now, I want you to look at one place. Hold your place in Psalm 91. We're coming back there. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, in the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge for the guilty to flee unto for protection. And you and I, who are also guilty, we have a place to flee. I'm glad we can flee to the Lord. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 17. Hebrews 6, verse 17. "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability," that's the word immutability just means unchanging, "wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation." Now look what it says. "Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And so, look, what a blessing. Jesus is our hope. We have fled to Him and are confident that our soul is safe in Him. We are hid in God. Our soul is spiritually. What a blessing. I'm glad that physically or emotionally, spiritually, we can be hid in the Lord. He is a great place of a refuge. Now, come back to our text in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse number 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And so, He not only is He our refuge or our hiding place, He is also our fortress. Now, a fortress is a stronghold. It is a place of defense or security. And so I'm glad that the Lord will not only protect me, I'm glad that the Lord will defend me, amen, and provide a place of security. Now, look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and Psalm 57. So the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is also my fortress. Psalm 18, I'll read verse number 1. Verse number 2 is the verse, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, David said in verse number 2. So, David understands as well as anyone and much better than most of us, that God is our place of defense and our security. Over and over again, David, the Lord fought battles that David was not able to win in and of himself, battles that David could have never been victorious in of his own strength, but he certainly was victorious in those battles because the Lord was his defense, the Lord was his fortress. Now look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Psalm 57 is also a psalm of David. And the psalmist reminds us that the Lord gave us a place of safety to which we can flee to in the time of adversity and trial. Psalm 57, look at verse number 1. Let me find it here. Psalm 57, verse number 1. It says, Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Now, the last part of this verse implies that the trouble we are facing will one day vanish away. And so we're talking about our refuge. We're talking about our fortress. So until that time comes, I'm glad that we can take refuge in the shadow of His wings, as we're looking at in Psalm 91. Now, we're not going to turn there, but the Bible says in Proverbs 21 that safety is of the Lord. I'm glad we can safely trust in the Lord. Now, come back to our text in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Look at verse number 2. Still in verse number 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Now, I want you to notice again is that something that we have noticed in other Psalms we've made mention of, and in fact, the Psalm that we just looked at would have been a good place to do that as well in Psalm 18. But our relationship with God must be personal. Notice that the psalmist said, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And so these verses, they are about a close personal relationship with the Savior. We have a dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. We are abiding under the shadow of His wings. He is our refuge. We are hid in Him. He is our fortress. We are safe. He is our safe place. He is my God. I thought about this today. I'm glad that He was my dad's God. I praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that He was my grandmother's God. I praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that He is my mom's God. I praise the Lord for that. But until He became my God, He was not my refuge and my fortress. It is a personal thing. He is my God. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. Now look at this. Come to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. He is my God. I hope He's your God. That's the question. Is He your God or do you just know about Him? You're never going to be satisfied with just knowing about Him. You need to know Him as your personal God, your personal Savior. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 48. I like this in verse 14. It says, For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now, what a tremendous blessing it is and what a great comfort it is to know that our King is our God and He will be our God forever and ever. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He is my God now, and there will never be a time when He will not be my God. Now, unfortunately, there are times when I'm prone to wonder. There are times when I'm not as faithful as I should be. I'm not as reliable as I ought to be. But I'm glad that that's not how the Lord is. Amen. There will never be a time when He ceases to be my God. Now, not only is He my God, He is also my guide even unto death, according to this verse in Psalm 48:14. So He will not only always be God, He will always be my God, and God will guide me even unto death. I say praise the Lord for that. Now, come back to Psalm 91 and verse number 2, and let's look at one more thing here in the Psalm, or in this verse. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Now, those are easy words to read. They're very simple language. It's easy to understand. I want to tell you, you're talking about solving life's troubles, solving life's worries, solving life's problems and heartaches. If we would just learn that we can trust Him. Now, it is a tremendous blessing to know that we can safely trust in the Lord. The psalmist trusts Him, and so can we. I know we trust Him in a large sense. I understand that. But oftentimes, there different things come up, and we get all bent out of shape. And I'm not being critical. I'm being honest. And there are things that many times we can't change. We can't do anything about. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can trust the Lord. Amen. He, in those times, He will be our refuge. He'll be our fortress. He will always be our God, and we can trust Him. Amen. Now, I want to show you a very similar passage. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. A similar passage to this Psalm 91 verses that we have looked at. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 62. I want to start reading in verse number 5. Verse number 8 is the verse I'm looking for. But Psalm 62, verse number 5 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Can I just say that if your expectation is from anyone else, you are liable to be disappointed. But if your expectation is from the Lord, you can trust in Him. Verse number 6, here's a great answer to that. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." He only, I mean, there's no other. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. That's my fortress. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Now, here's the verse. Look at verse number 8. "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." Now, David has just spent the entirety of these three verses that we read prior to our verse in verse number 8. He is just glorifying and praising God for His goodness and for His blessings in this life. And now he says to those with him, you can trust Him. You can trust Him at all times. You can pour out your heart before Him in any situation. He is a refuge for us. Aren't you glad that God is no respecter of persons? He'll be your refuge. He'll be my refuge. You can trust Him. I can trust Him. He'll be your fortress. He'll be my fortress. He'll be your God. He'll be my... He's no respecter of persons, amen. And so, trust in Him at all times. I like that. So, just a couple of things. Trust Him when everything is going great. Trust Him when nothing is going right. Trust Him when you feel like it. Trust Him when you don't feel like it. Trust Him when you're in good health. Trust Him when your health is failing. Trust Him when folks are being saved. Trust Him when no one seems interested in being saved. Trust Him when the church is growing. Trust Him when folks are falling by the wayside. We could just say simply this, it is always appropriate to trust in Him. And it is, amen. We can trust in Him. Now, look at the verse again, verse number 8. "Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him." Now, you think about the truth that's found in this. When you trust someone, it is natural or it is easy to pour out your heart to them. Sometimes we trust people and we pour out our heart to them, and that turns out not to be a good thing. But you can safely trust in the Lord, and you can pour out your heart to Him. Now, the word pour here plainly signifies that the heart is full. It could be full of anything. It could be full of sin. You can pour out your heart to God. It could be full of grief. You can pour out your heart to God. It could be full of trouble or sorrow. It could be almost anything. And you can empty that. You can pour. Wouldn't it be good to get rid of that? If you trust the Lord, you can pour it out to Him. He'll take it, amen. And not only will He take it, He has the power to do something about it. And so, in this psalm, David is reminding us that the Lord is never weary. He never grows tired of hearing our complaints or the problems or the suffering of His people. Therefore, you should go. We should go. And when we go, we should just empty ourselves. There's no reason to hold anything back. Do you trust Him? You can pour out your heart to Him, amen. Tell Him everything that hurts you. Pour out your complaints into His merciful bosom. He's a place of refuge. He's a fortress. We have no strength apart from Him. Now, let's look at another point. We'll be finished here in a minute for tonight. Come to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Now, this pouring out of our heart, our complaints, our troubles to the Lord, is something that the psalmist David is accustomed to doing. Now, Psalm 142 is a masculine psalm of David. It's a psalm of instruction. It is a prayer when he was in the cave. And so he's hiding from his enemy. Notice what he said. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Now, it's not often viewed or looked upon to be a complainer. And Lord knows there's plenty of those. And many times we complain without really much to complain about. But you can pour out your complaint to the Lord. And we saw that David, I poured out my complaint before Him. Now, I personally believe that in some ways, as I've already made mention of, this has to do with emptying ourselves. We have reached a place where we are no longer concerned with our own thoughts or our ways. So we pour out our heart and soul to God that we might receive from Him that which we need or that our soul desires. And I'll just say this is truly trusting the Lord. And that's exactly what we're looking at in verse number 2 of our psalm, of Psalm 91. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And we can safely trust in Him. Now, look at this. I'll look at one more thing here in verse number 8, Psalm 62, verse number 8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. Now, look, this is something we've already looked at. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So this is a comforting reminder here at the end of this verse that you can be honest with God. In fact, I don't know why you would never be honest with God. He already knows your heart. And sometimes we are embarrassed about the way that we feel, or sometimes we're embarrassed about the way that we think of a certain situation or circumstance. The Lord already knows that. Be honest with Him. Pour out your heart to the Lord, amen. He's there to help you. You need not fear Him abandoning you because you're open and honest with Him. There's a lot of people, and I'm not encouraging you to do this. Please do not do this. You don't confess your sins to man. You confess them to God. But there's probably no one that you could be completely honest with about everything in your life and feel comfortable in doing that. But you can to the Lord. Some people, if you did that, they would never have conversation with you again. They'd be done with you. But the Lord will never abandon you. He will continue to desire to be your refuge and your fortress and your God.
What a blessing.
Now, I'm glad that we can seek Him. I'm glad we can intercede. He'll intercede on our behalf. I'm glad we can trust Him. And listen, if our request is not granted, you can rest assured that there will be sufficient grace from the Lord to get you through whatever the trial is you're facing. So we can trust Him at all times. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. And He'll never forsake you. What a blessing. Father, thank You for the Bible. And thank You for the opportunity, what we have this afternoon, to look at just a small portion of Your Scripture. I thank You, Lord, for loving us and caring for us, being far more than we ever deserve, that's for sure. Thank You so much for Your goodness toward us. Help us, Lord, to pour out our heart unto You because we safely trust in You. I thank You for Your goodness and for Your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.